one of the other elements I'd like to impart into my dancers is that you should be nice to everyone. You should be kind to everyone as you go through your training, because you never know who you're going to meet again. You know, whether it's someone who's training with you or someone who's in charge of your training, someone who seems to be on the outskirts, like in the costume department, the stage door person, the lighting director. It doesn't matter who they are, because they either will know someone or you will come across them again when you need a job. If you hear of something and they say, "Oh, well, I've always loved working with that person because they're just lovely to work with. They're very helpful. They're willing to do the hard work." You know, that's how you get a good reputation. And you enjoy it a lot more as well. You do enjoy your time and you enjoy meeting these people and reconnecting with them. My name's Lindsay Ashbrown, and I'm currently the artistic director of the Irish National Youth Ballet Company. I also teach freelance in Ireland, and I run the Dance Institute Summer School with my sister Zoe. So I'm going to give you a little bit of background as to my training. I was in the Debbie Allen Dance School, which was in Dublin, alongside joining Irish National Youth Ballet. Through my training, we did examinations. We were examined with the Royal Academy of Dance, as well as the Imperial Society, the ISTD. And this took me abroad quite often, quite young, actually. We didn't have a big dance venue the way they these days. The kids can go to Dance House and everyone can do their exams in a centralized studio. So quite often myself and maybe one or two others would have to go over to the UK. We'd go to the RAD or the ISTD headquarters, which was super exciting. And that then allowed us, I guess, would be the way to phrase it. It allowed us to experience what our peers were doing in the UK. We were very lucky, myself and a couple of my friends, we were able to go over to join summer schools in lots of different areas. We went to London quite a lot. We went to Exeter. And this brought some new teachers into my training. And some of those teachers actually ended up teaching me in my teacher's course later on down the line. So it's such a small world, the dance world. But while I was dancing and training in Dublin, some of the most memorable events will be just after my grade 7 ballet exam. I came out and myself and my dance partner, we were standing in the porch, and the examiner actually came out quite quickly. She was finished for the day and they always want to get back to the hotel, but she actually handed us our certificate straight away, which doesn't happen nowadays. They all have to go back to headquarters and be ratified. But we got them from her and opened them up. And we thought it was a joke because it looked like there was nothing written on there. It just looked like the template. But what actually happened is we both got 100%. So it looked like, yeah, like it looked like a joke. But that was one of the biggest moments where I thought, oh, I think I'm actually quite good at this. And I could see that she was basically saying, you're above the standard that's needed for this level. And, you know, we move on into vocational training and the examinations that require point work and all the other sort of styles that you need for ballet. That was one point that sort of started me on that path, thinking maybe I could do this as a career. Maybe it's something I should keep putting my effort and my energies into. And then through the summer schools, although I went away, most summers we went away, I also went to Shawbrook down in Longford. That was an annual event. And actually, we ended up going to all the other events through the years. We go to Easter courses and half-term extra intensive courses. And the first year that I went to a summer school with about 10 of us were thinking about going away to train. And myself and one other we were awarded the scholarship that year. And that was another moment where I thought, actually, these people who are in charge, the teachers, the choreographers, the directors, they're saying, you know, keep going, you're on the right path. And that was really important for me because I never really had a very high confidence level in myself. Just my own personality, I guess I was quieter than everyone else. And to be given that, those little prizes, those little moments, it really helped to spur me along. The same year, I actually got a commendation in the Royal Academy of Dance. That was a massive summer. And I came back full of energy to put into my training. And I think all of my teachers, my regular teachers then saw that and they helped to push me along. And any extra classes that were available, I would jump at the chance. I think one of the biggest moments that I had through the Irish National Youth Ballet was that the director of Cork City Ballet, Alan Foley, came in and auditioned all of the seniors. He said he was looking for some apprentices. He came in when I was 16 to do the audition, and he picked three of us from the company, and off we went down to Cork for about a month. We did about 3 weeks there. We had to come back at one stage to fulfill some INYB commitments. And then we went on tour. So we did a couple of shows in the Cork Opera House. And we went on tour to Limerick and up to Dublin, which was great. We were in the Olympia Theatre in Dublin, so everyone could see us. And we went to Galway as well. It was actually quite a long tour. And this was, you know, coming out of school. We missed about 2 months of school, which I'm sure couldn't happen these days. It was just amazing. It was a real life company. We were getting paid. We were away from my family. So we had to fend for ourselves. And we had to make sure we got to work on time and felt very grown up about it all. And that energy then going into the ballet company every day just opened my eyes as to what was needed, because this was, you know, 9 to 5, Monday to Saturday. It was hardcore and I really enjoyed it. I really loved that hard work. I've always loved the technique of ballet. I've loved the challenge of trying to get your body to fit around the steps or trying to get something to really sink into the muscles and make it feel like it's just part of how you move naturally. So getting to do this for the whole day, you know, 6 days a week was just, it was mind blowing. And that again showed me that I could go away. Maybe I could get into some small companies. And it was really lovely, actually. I think my second job was to go back to Cork City Ballet then as a fully fledged, you know, trained professional dancer. And I did many times. I loved going back there. It was like going home after having that apprenticeship opportunity. So loads of different elements went into that decision to go and train. And I applied for many, many schools in the UK. London Studio Centre was the first one that I went to, and they offered me a scholarship. So I actually cancelled all of my other auditions and we decided that was it. At the time, there was no such thing as auditioning by video. It was quite expensive for all the travelling, you know, there and back. So I was really happy with that decision. I felt like they really wanted me and I loved the venue. There were some amazing teachers. We had a wide range of subjects to study. And it was one of the first colleges that offered a degree program as well. It was really nice for my parents to see that because they wanted me to stay in Ireland and do my Leaving Cert and make sure I had that sort of backup plan if injury struck or if for some reason dancing didn't work out. So to find out that there was such a thing as a degree in dance, it made them feel happier about the decision to leave. And for me, I always liked academics as well. So finding out that you could do a degree in dance was amazing. So off I went to London and it was a 3-year degree program. And initially, transitioning over to the UK, it was exciting, and it didn't feel like a massive step because I'd been to a lot of summer schools over there. So for the first couple of weeks, it was just like an extended version of going to summer school. And even some of the people that I had met at summer schools from all over the world, you know, there was girls there from Greece, I remember, and Germany, and we had all met at the RAD headquarters a couple of years before. And it was like, oh, seeing old friends, and here we are all together for another few years. It was really lovely. And there were hard times as well, you know, suddenly being by yourself, having to do all the normal domestic things like washing and drying, and we didn't have to cook. Luckily, I was in a lovely youth hostel and they supplied breakfast and dinner, so you were always fed. But you had to do all the other grown-up things and work out how to travel between either using the underground or going on buses. And yeah, all that took a little bit of adjusting to, but it was still exciting at the same time. You know, it felt like you're on the path to professional life. So it wasn't a major adjustment, I think, moving over to the UK. I did change how I spoke because I actually had quite a strong Dublin accent, I'd say, when I went over first. And I remember sitting down between two of my very close friends, they'd still be close friends now. And Cameron turned to me and he was really, really watching my face. And I thought he was listening intently. And then he turned to my other friend, Jamie, and he said, "Do you know what she just said for the last 10 minutes?" So I learned how to slow down a little bit and pronounce my R like an R and not like an or, and lots of little things. And now coming home, I'm trying to actually undo that a little bit. But apart from that, I'd say that was probably the biggest change that I made personally to myself. And that was helpful actually then when I went into teaching. I was reminded of that when I started teaching really young kids, and if I spoke too quickly, and maybe if I wasn't demonstrating, they'd just look at me with absolutely blank faces, and I realized, oh, I need to slow myself down, I need to use different vocabulary. You know, the people think the UK and Ireland are very, very similar, but there's sometimes massive cultural gaps there. And you have to try and bridge that as the teacher. And I moved into teaching quite quickly. I loved performing. I didn't love touring, though. And that was one of the reasons why I went in to do my teacher's courses quite early on, because I'm 5'10" and I love ballet. But 5'10" dancers don't often get opportunities. Back in the early 90s and noughties especially, there weren't people my height. So, you know, the smaller companies that I would have worked for, there just wasn't really much opportunity for a taller dancer, apart from going on tour. And when I realized I really didn't like that kind of life, then moving into teaching made a lot of sense. I could be based somewhere that I loved living, and I could make quite a nice life for myself doing that. And I had always assisted in classes as well. As a young dancer, I was quite lucky that Debbie Allen asked me to assist in her classes there. And I always did music as well through my childhood, and I would assist my piano teacher in those classes too. So it seemed like a very natural progression for me. And as I said before, I love the challenge of technique and learning how to explain that to younger dancers and how to break everything down and see them achieving a step. You know, within a class, you can see them wrapping themselves around these steps. It's a great sense of achievement for the teacher as well. So I love that. And yeah, I moved over to teach. I did my teacher's course in the RAD, where I got my licentiate, and then I also did modern teaching with the ISTD. So I did that quite quickly. I've kept going. I really enjoy studying. So I've also got Pilates qualifications and PBT and anything that comes out. I like to investigate it and see if it would be helpful to impart something down to the next generation. Over the years, the landscape has definitely changed. The demands on young dancers, a lot of it nowadays comes from what they see on social media. That instant moment of positions, especially when you're looking at still photos. People are looking at a photo that's probably been posed for a long time. They're only seeing the person's best side. They're not seeing all the hours that have gone into creating that shape. There's also an awful lot of competition dancing going on that you see on social media, which is great. And I think there is definitely pros for entering competitions and pitching yourself against people of the same age. But again, it doesn't really reflect where the jobs are and how you're going to get a job in the future. That really comes from having a solid technique underneath all of the tricks and the glitz and glamour that maybe you can put on top of that. I still think that if you are a classically trained dancer, you can then move on into any genre that you want. Some of the best contemporary dancers will say they've spent 10 to 15 years on their ballet training as well. And it's having that basis and that strong, solid technique that A, stops a lot of injuries because they understand how their body can and should move and how to use alignment and make sure that they're training their body and their facility to the best and the highest standard that it can achieve. So I do think that the social media instant gratification, it really tricks maybe the younger dancers into thinking that's what they need to be doing. Whereas actually, if they spend more hours on what might feel like the boring elements of pliés and tendus and learning how to jump safely and learning how to land a single pirouette first, that's really the important part of it still. And I don't think that's going to change. You know, you're not going to be able to do the amazing arabesque up on point on a rock in the middle of the seaside if you don't have that strength underneath you from all those years of training. In saying that, there's also a side of me now that appreciates if you can do those tricks, then you still need to work on those as well. You know, if you go into an audition, even for cruise ships or things that are seen as more jazzy, the likelihood is if you get through the dance section, you're going to then be asked to do a double pirouette, like a classical double pirouette. Stand on one leg and show me your first arabesque. It needs to be turned out. Everything needs to be stretched and pointed. I say this from experience. You know, I went to a lot of these cruise auditions and I got some of these jobs, and it was because I had classical technique that I got through that section of the audition very easily. But at the end, there was always 8 or 16 counts of freestyle and show us your tricks. Now, luckily, as a classically trained dancer, I was able to do fouettés, or I would shoulder my leg and hold it up there. But I could see that even back then, like you're talking about 20 years ago, people were starting to do all of the gymnastics element in their freestyle. And a lot of people pushed against that, but that is progression. That is how an art form evolves. And for dance, it's meant taking elements of other genres and bringing them in. And maybe we don't need to highlight them so much anymore, but they just become part of the step vocabulary. So if that is one of your strengths, I think absolutely still train and feel comfortable doing those tricks, but know that coming out of backbend into a handstand cartwheel, you still will probably have to do a triple pirouette and land it at the end. So they go hand in hand these days. I think we have to be versatile. There's not many companies who can say they absolutely just do classical ballet repertoire. Even if you look at the biggest ballet companies in the world, they will be asked to do more contemporary style, I was watching some English National Ballet rep recently, and I realized some of those dancers are wearing rollerblades, and some of them have tap shoes on. And the choreographers will ask you, what special skills do you have? What can you bring to the choreography? And I think if you are confident enough to say, yeah, I can do this and no one else can do it, then it gives you a leg up, definitely. But you won't get into that company in the first place if you don't have really, really strong technique. So, like I said, it goes hand in hand. We have to be adaptable and we have to be versatile. And I think focusing on your technical training when you're young is a really good way of doing that. It's much harder to get the technique into your body as an older person. And I can say that after doing a million hours on Zoom this year, my body hurts an awful lot, but my technique has saved me. And I know that a lot of other people are in a worse position, maybe because their knee to foot alignment wasn't as good, or for whatever reason. Your technique can save your body and make sure that you are still able to dance into your 30s, 40s, 50s. That's one of the skills that I want to pass on to the next generation of dancers. It is to recognize your own facility, how your body works, and what doesn't work for your body as well. We all have different proportions in our body. Some people have longer backs, some people have longer limbs. We have different shaped legs. So we always talk about sway back legs in ballet, but there's also bowed legs and straight legs. And if you can learn what it is that you have at an early age, then you can sift through all of the information a lot easier and just take on board the corrections and the elements that are going to really help you. And I wish I had known that a little bit earlier in my training. I didn't know that I had swayed and bowed legs until quite late on. And I think that it changes your weight placement quite a lot. And that might have been something that would clear up your pirouettes, for example. My pirouettes were always my weakest element. I loved my adage. I loved jumping. But turns, I would kind of freak out a little bit. I think that's maybe also being 5'10", you're a bit scared that if you fall over, it's going to hurt. But once I learned about my leg shape and where my weight placement needed to be, suddenly a double pirouette wasn't such a tricky thing. So I would like to try and impart that wisdom into my student dancers now and say, really look at your facility. You can be the best dancer that you can be, but there's no point in looking at somebody across the room who has straight legs and different ratio in their body, different length limbs to body, because you can't be the same as that. So you can only focus on yourself. And yeah, a little bit of competition here and there is great, but only on the elements that you can achieve. You can't change how tall you are or how short you are, but you can expand your mind, you can expand your interests, and you can just be open to lots of different styles of teaching. Most of us as teachers say very similar things, but it's just the way we say it, maybe, that makes an impact on people. And I'm trying in my own teaching now to look back and see why that teacher in particular made such an impact on me. And there's quite a few, actually. I was really lucky to have Fiona Chadwick, who was principal dancer of the Royal Ballet. She actually came and lived in Ireland for a few years, and she was the ballet mistress of INYB my last year there. And she made a huge impact on me because she was really lighthearted. And I hadn't really had a ballet teacher who made so many jokes in class. And I realized later it's because she wanted us to really enjoy the movement. And she would tell us little funny anecdotes about being on stage. And then I realized, well, that's because now, whenever I do that section of that ballet, I'll think about her little anecdote and how it made us feel, whether it was happy or sad, or it doesn't matter. I just will always remember that story. So I try and use some of those little gems that I've picked up over the years from teachers that I loved, teachers that I respected. Another one was David Ashmole. He was also principal dancer with the Royal Ballet and Australian Ballet as well for many, many years. And I had him as one of my main ballet teachers in London Studio Centre. But he had taught myself and my sister actually in Yorkshire Ballet seminars and a few other summer schools. And when he was there in Studio Centre, I didn't realize it at the time, but I had a lot of respect for him in the summer schools, and that transferred to my time in Studio Centre. And then when I left, I had a couple of years of dancing and I went back to studios as a teacher myself. He was still there. And I think because we had that mutual respect then, teacher to teacher, our relationship changed and developed, but we always knew that we had that respect for the art form as common ground. One of the other elements I'd like to impart into my dancers is that you should be nice to everyone. You should be kind to everyone as you go through your training, because you never know who you're going to meet again. You know, it might be someone who's training with you, it might be a teacher, it might be an organizer, it might be someone in the background. But if you're just kind to everyone and appreciate that they are there because they are skilled in that area, and if you can respect their skill, then down the line, they might be useful to you, they might be a friend to you, they might create a new connection. And this is how you build your network as a dancer. It really is being kind and nice to everyone that you come across. I've had quite a lot of reconnecting in the last couple of years. As I've come into my directorship, I've come across three other dancers who I met either at summer schools or through my training in Studio Centre. And they're all in the same position now. They're running their own school or their own company. And, you know, we always kept in touch every couple of years. We'd touch base. And I didn't realize it at the time, but that was my network of people that I'm now using. And we're helping each other out. We might be doing master classes or workshops for each other's groups. We're talking about commissioning choreographies, and it's global. You know, it's some of these people are in America, some of them are in the UK, in Germany. So if I can teach that to the next generation, that please just respect everyone that you come across, whether, as I say, whether it's someone who's training with you or someone who's in charge of your training, someone who seems to be on the outskirts, like in the costume department, the stage door person, the lighting director. It doesn't matter who they are, because they either will know someone or you will come across them again when you need a job. If you hear of something and they say, oh, well, I've always loved working with that person because they're just lovely to work with. They're very helpful. They're willing to do the hard work. You know, that's how you get a good reputation. And you enjoy it a lot more as well. You do enjoy your time and you enjoy meeting these people and reconnecting with them. I think that's where my full circle comes really with INYB, because the people that I met through the company or through the company's connections going to America, we went to summer schools there through the Youth Ballet's connections. I'm now bringing those people in to choreograph and give master classes for my INYB dancers. And hopefully it will all increase their level of technique. It will give new performance opportunities and just help them grow as artists. Hopefully, that's the plan anyway.